flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The lights are out.
Hurry, get to the lights, go out.
The game is over, and we're here to pick up the pieces. This is Warriors Wrap Up on 95.7, The Game.
Beal for three, missed it. Rebound Kuminga, ball game over. And the Warriors get a win they had to have. Kevin Durant with hugs for KD and Steve Kerr. And comes over to find his pal Steph Curry. And the Warriors win 109-105. Finally getting a victory. Crawl back over 500 and hopefully set a trend for the rest of this homestand.
Well said. Voice of the Warriors, Tim Roy right there here earlier tonight on 95.7 The Game. And welcome in to Warriors Wrap Up. Mark Randy with you live from KFICO Pizzeria at Thrive City on the east side of Chase Center overlooking the Bay. A beautiful setup here at KFICO. But a beautiful performance from the Golden State Warriors who knock off the Phoenix Suns 109-105 in a come-from-behind victory led once again by Jonathan Kuminga. 34 points off the bench for the second consecutive game. It was Kuminga down the stretch that won this game for the Warriors in addition to team defense down the stretch. Jonathan Kuminga, 13 of his 34 points in the fourth quarter. He got to the line 10 times in the fourth quarter, made 7 of them. Every single one of them were clutch, including 5 in the final couple of minutes, and the Warriors win. Again, final score 109-105 over KD and the Suns. A big win because the Warriors stay on the right side of 500. If they lost tonight, they would have fallen under 500 for the first time this season. They get the win. They're 16-15, and they push the Suns to sub 500 at 15-16, but a huge win for the Warriors, and we're just getting started here on Warriors Wrap Up. Welcome in. Mark Randy with me. You can shoot me a text. Give me a call to join the conversation. 888-957-9570. Already seeing some comments flying in on the Comcast Business text line. Again, 888-957-9570. What's up to the 707 and the 415, the 408 as well. Appreciate all of the interaction on the Comcast Business text line. So Warriors over the Suns, 109-105. How about Jonathan Kuminga? And this has become the story of the Warriors season as they try to figure out what this season is going to look like going forward. A big part of it is, of course, Jonathan Kuminga. And last night was one thing. thing, because what he did last night, 34 points, and he was amazing last night, but what he did, 34 points, 11 of 19 from the field, 11 of 14 from the free throw line, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, fantastic. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. That happened, though, with Stephen Curry and Draymond Green sidelined. That's one thing. Like, there's more opportunities, there's more shots, there's more responsibility on JK's plate when Steph and Draymond are out, right? And it's happened multiple times. Prior to tonight, the two highest scoring games of Jonathan Kuminga's career. Again, prior to tonight, the two highest scoring games of Jonathan Kuminga's career happened this season in the only two games that both Stephen Curry and Draymond Green had missed. It was the win at home against Houston early in December, when the Warriors were, again, without Steph and without Draymond, and Jonathan Kuminga scored 33 points. It was he and Wiggins, two-man show the whole night, and those two led the Warriors to a win. And then it was last night in L.A. against the Clippers, in a loss, but still a great performance by Kuminga. But it happened without Steph and without Draymond. Tonight, Steph and Draymond returned. They played their normal minutes. They were both impactful in this game, both Steph and Draymond. Draymond was awesome in this one, scoring 16 points. He made three threes in the second quarter that kind of kept the Warriors in it in the first half, because they were flirting with disaster in the second quarter with turnover after turnover after turnover. Draymond made three threes in the span of 2 minutes of game time. He had 16 points. He had eight rebounds. He had seven assists. Stephen Curry wasn't terribly efficient and missed a number of big shots down the stretch, but still 22 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, 9 of 22 from the field, 4 of 13 from downtown. The point is, Jonathan Kuminga tonight did it, and he led the way offensively when Stephen Curry and Draymond Green were also available. And we haven't seen that all that often. He's had good games. He's had very nice games. Think about the game against Indiana, when he had a really nice performance when Steph and Draymond were available and playing. But a night where he's truly the number one option offensively, and he wills a team to victory through his offensive skill set while both Steph and Draymond are on the floor, I'm not sure we've seen that yet. So tonight was a major accomplishment for Kuminga and the Warriors. Again, not because he scored 34 points and they got a win, but because it happened within the construct of a Warriors offense still mostly built around Stephen Curry and Draymond Green. That was my major concern after last night's performance. Again, it's not that Jonathan Kuminga is a bad basketball player or only gets buckets when the rest of the stars are out. It's that the Warriors generally have shown a relative stubbornness to adjust offensively away from what has worked over the last decade plus, what has won them four championships, what has made Stephen Curry into a top 10 player of all time, what has made Draymond Green into a Hall of Famer. Because, I mean, why? Of course, you'd be hesitant to adjust from that. It has worked for you. It hasn't been working nearly as much this season, and you could even say last season and the year prior. But when you have an emerging young talent like Jonathan Kuminga, who skill set isn't necessarily complemented by the normal offensive style the Warriors run, you have to adjust. You have to adjust, or we're going to have moments like last night where it feels like Kuminga can only be effective when your two centerpieces aren't playing. And if that is the reality of the situation, then you are not getting nearly enough out of a key player in Jonathan Kuminga, and you are wasting what his abilities are for you if you're not able to maximize what he can do when your two key players are on the court. So tonight was huge, because I felt we saw the Warriors adjust their offensive attack. And it wasn't just Steph and Draymond pick and roll and the motion offense and split action and everything that comes off of that. It was, hey, you know what? We need a bucket. We're going to post up JK here. Back your shorter guy down. Get to the rim. Get to the line. Knock down your free throws. We'll take the 2 points that way. It was, hey, we're going to bring up a screen, and they're going to switch Plumlee onto Jonathan Kuminga. You know what, JK? We're just spacing everybody out. Take him one-on-one. Take him to the 10. And that happened often tonight, and we haven't seen that enough when Kuminga is on the floor alongside Steph and Draymond. There's a tendency when Steph and Draymond are on the court for Kuminga to kind of get lost in the shuffle. The same thing happens with Andrew Wiggins. It's a little more confusing, though, for Kuminga because Kuminga tends to be generally more aggressive when the ball is in his hands than Andrew Wiggins. But when he is running the motion offense and it's read and react, he's just simply not quite as good at that as he is at attacking a mismatch, getting to the rim, and scoring down low or drawing a foul and getting up a couple of free throws. Tonight we saw the Warriors adjust their offensive plan, and it worked really, really well. I mean, they won a basketball game against a quality team in the Phoenix Suns. I know the record is not great at 15-16. But they won a game against a Phoenix Suns basketball team where they got almost nothing from everybody not named Kuminga, Steph, and Draymond. I mean, you look at some of the numbers in this basketball game. How about the group of three? Dennis Schroeder, Buddy Hield, and Andrew Wiggins. I have the numbers here for you. Here it is. Tonight, Buddy Hield, 0 for 7, all from deep. Dennis Schroeder, 4 for 13, 1 of 7 from deep. The one was a huge one, a very deep three late in the fourth quarter that helped the Warriors win this one. But still, 4 of 13, 1 of 7 from downtown. And Andrew Wiggins, 3 of 12, 1 of 6 from downtown. Combine those three, Hield, Schroeder, Wiggins, 7 for 32 from the field, 2 of 20 from downtown. The Warriors won a basketball game where Steph didn't go nuclear. He scored 22 points on 22 shots. That's not very great efficiency. They won a basketball game where they got that from Steph and 7 for 32 from Hield, Schroeder, and Wiggins. How did they do it? Because Jonathan Kuminga had himself maybe the best performance of his career, considering the circumstances, in a game the Warriors absolutely had to have. As far as December basketball games go, this was one of the most important December basketball games the Warriors have played in a really, really long time, and they got the job done. Jonathan Kuminga, 34 points for the second consecutive game, and it happened off the bench. How about this from Jonathan Kuminga? 34 points last night in LA, 34 points against the Suns tonight. That's 68 points. 23 for 39 from the field, 19 for 26 from the free throw line, 19 rebounds and 8 assists over the last two games. He's the first Warriors player since 1975-1976 to have consecutive 30-point games off the bench. And we will hear from Steve Kerr coming up a little bit later on here on Warriors Wrap Up. But he did say that he hopes essentially to keep this rotation the same, which means the starting unit, Steph Curry, Dennis Schroeder, Andrew Wiggins, Draymond Green, and Trayce Jackson-Davis. I thought TJG had himself another really nice night, by the way, and maybe over the last week or so, he's playing the best basketball of his career. He wants to keep that starting unit the same, but then he wants to play Jonathan Kuminga starters minutes. He played 37 minutes tonight. 37 minutes for Jonathan Kuminga. Actually, pardon me, 37 last night, 34 and a half tonight. So 34 and a half tonight off the bench in a game where both Stephen Curry and Draymond Green play. If you're getting Jonathan Kuminga 34 minutes, it's hard for him to be upset about his role on this basketball team. And when you are willingly giving him the ball in situations that he can attack one-on-one, he's getting plenty of opportunities. Only Stephen Curry took more shots than Kuminga did tonight. Curry put up 22 attempts. Kuminga put up 20. He had himself a really nice basketball game. There was one shot early in the third quarter where he had Plumlee on him in the corner, and he decided to settle for a three, and it was a contested three. There was still a lot of time on the shot clock. He could have tried to drive past Plumlee, as he did multiple times later on in the game, but he settled for a three. That was maybe the only terrible decision that he made in this basketball game. And he didn't have a perfect game by any stretch, but he was very, very, very good. There's always moments where you say, I probably should have done something different there. I can only think of one, maybe two, for Jonathan Kuminga the whole night. There was a stretch where he tried to drive on consecutive plays and either got it stolen or it was blocked. There was one where he tried to split a double team and got the ball poked free, turned into a turnover. The next time he tried to drive baseline on Kevin Durant and he got blocked. And other than that, and that settling for a three in the corner when you got a big seven-footer on you, those are the only three moments that come to mind as mistakes by Kuminga tonight. And when you only can point to three mistakes in a game where you play 34 and a half minutes, you had yourself one hell of a basketball game. And Kuminga had himself a hell of a basketball game. But tonight, honestly, it's less about Kuminga for me. Obviously, you need him to play well, but we know he has this in him. We have seen him do it a number of times. It's a matter of, is he able to do it on a consistent basis when the Warriors are fully healthy? Tonight, they were fully healthy, essentially. No Moses Moody and no GP2. But I'm talking specifically about, like, you know, the alphas, Stephen Curry and Draymond Green and Andrew Wiggins. When those guys are all available, and Jonathan Kuminga is as well, can he do what he did tonight? Again, not scoring 34 every single night, but can he be as efficient and effective in his minutes as he was tonight when those others are available? We haven't seen it consistently enough. Tonight, it happened. That's a step in the right direction. But again, it's less about Kuminga's performance for me and more about how the Warriors adjusted their plan of attack to favor Jonathan Kuminga.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Mark Schler of the Sink of Truth podcast. The NFL playoffs are here, and I'll be breaking down every matchup as we get toward the big game. Join my co-host Mike Evans and I on the Sink of Truth podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
His offense tonight. It's not asking Kuminga to do something that he isn't comfortable doing. It is realizing Kuminga has a skill set and offers this Warriors offense something that nobody else on the roster offers. And it is simply, you know, tweaking the plan of attack. You see that you've got Tyus Jones switched onto Jonathan Kuminga on the block. To hell with the motion offense. To hell with running Steph through three screens as he runs from baseline to baseline. Just throw the ball into the post and let Kuminga back down Tyus Jones and get him an easy bucket. Or Tyus Jones will give up an easy foul. He'll, you know, free throws have been an issue. He's been really good the last two nights there. Do that more often. Oh, top of the key, Kuminga ball handler. Bring Draymond up for a screen. Switch Plumlee onto him. And JK, go to work. Drive past him and get to the rim. We haven't seen the Warriors be willing enough to make adjustments like that. Consistently enough when Stephen Curry and Draymond are on the court. Steve Kerr has said over and over and over again, when Stephen and Draymond are on the court together, we're just spamming pick and roll with those two guys over and over and over, because that's won them four championships. But it's not winning you championships anymore. So there has to be an adjustment. And tonight, we saw an adjustment. I think they can even do it more, honestly. I mean, there wasn't that many times where the Warriors would run Draymond Green up to set a screen for Kuminga to bring Plumlee onto him. And there was one moment in the fourth quarter where the Warriors did it, and Plumlee gave up the switch so incredibly easy. And why don't the Warriors run that play every single trip down? It was a step in the right direction, though, and Kuminga answered the call, but the Warriors showed a willingness to adjust themselves as well. We can continue to get into that. We got also to get to Steve Kerr's postgame press conference. He said some interesting things. I'll also let you know what Draymond Green said about Jonathan Kuminga. That was interesting as well. We got a whole lot more to get into as Warriors wrap-up continues. Mark Randy with you on 95.7 The Game as the Dubs knock off the Suns 109-105. They stay above 500, or they move now one game above 500, 16-15. They avoid falling below 500 with a huge win at home tonight here over the Suns, again, 109-105. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, more Warriors wrap up next here on 95.7 The Game.
6 seconds to go. Curry will drain it to half court. Curry drifting left to two defenders. Throws up a one-hander, and it went in! It went in! Fading left, right-hand runner. Curry with a bucket. How did he do that?
Now back to Warriors wrap-up on 95.7 The Game.
Tim Roy is the best, isn't he? I mean, that Stephen Curry play was incredible. Maybe only matched by Tim Roy describing the action. To beat the halftime buzzer, Stephen Curry racing down the floor like 100 miles an hour, goes behind the back as he splits two defenders on the left wing and then turns it into a fading little runner at the buzzer, and it goes in. Like, that's only a shot that falls if your first name is Stephen or Wardell Stephen and your last name is Curry the second. Like, he lives a charmed life, doesn't he? That was incredible the way that he finished that. And it was a big momentum shifter in the game. The Warriors go into the second half with that bucket, and it didn't necessarily translate immediately to the second half, but they turned it around. They ultimately win this game down the stretch, and we spent so much time already talking about Jonathan Kuminga, and we're going to continue to do so. And I would love to hear from you. You can give me a call, shoot me a text here on Warriors Wrap-Up. It's Mark Randy with you on 95.7 The Game. The number to call and the number to text, the Comcast Business text line, is 888-957-9570. Kuminga is the story of the night. He is the story of the last two nights. 68 points in his last two games. 23 for 39 from the field in the last two. 19 for 26 from the free throw line. And he's not just scoring. Over the last two games, 19 rebounds. 8 assists. He's playing better defense. He's taking care of the ball better. And, of course, we know what he's doing, scoring the basketball, getting to the free throw line, making more free throws. By the way, he did admit tonight, post-game, that he did feel a little bit nervous when he went to the free throw line down the stretch. And he was good down the stretch at the line. He missed a couple in the fourth quarter. He missed both on a single trip in the fourth quarter. Then the rest of the way, 5-for-6 from the free throw line. If he made all six, he would have set a new career high in points for the second consecutive night. The one that he missed at the very end was like with 4 seconds left. The Warriors were up by 3. All he had to do was make one to essentially win the basketball game. He missed the first, made the second. Bradley Beal then misses a deep shot from the right wing. Didn't matter if it went in. The game was over because Kuminga's one free throw made it a 4-point game. Long story short, Kuminga's a story, and we're going to keep talking about Jonathan Kuminga here on Warriors Wrap-Up. Again, it's Mark Randy with you on 95.7 The Game. You can give me a call, shoot me a text on the Comcast Business text line, 888-957-9570. But how about what the Warriors did down the stretch and who they turned to in this basketball game? They went to the lineup of Stephen Curry, Dennis Schroeder, Andrew Wiggins, Jonathan Kuminga, and Draymond Green. It's an interesting one because the Warriors, and specifically Steve Kerr, has said multiple times he wants to avoid playing Draymond Green too many minutes at the five. And actually, Draymond Green has said that himself. He even admitted tonight, Draymond Green did, quote, here it is from Draymond Green. I'll be honest, I didn't want to play a ton of five. It's hard. I don't love it for entire games at this point, but I love to win. And the way that the Warriors roster is built, it's pretty obvious the Warriors' best groups feature Draymond Green at the five. Now, a big part of that is because it allows Andrew Wiggins and Jonathan Kuminga to be on the floor together, and really the only way to do that is if you have Draymond Green at the five, because you can't have Draymond Green at the four if you have both Wiggins and Kuminga in, because the Warriors have already tried that, and Kuminga at the three just doesn't really work. When you have Wiggins, Kuminga, Draymond two through four, it means you also have someone like Trayce Jackson-Davis or Kevon Looney at the five, and you just don't have enough shooting to survive in today's NBA with that grouping. So kind of by process of elimination, if you assume that Wiggins and Kuminga are part of your best five, Draymond clearly is also part of your best five, but it has to come at the five. So it's kind of the reality the Warriors are facing, and it's also partly why I think there's been so much talk surrounding Jonathan Kuminga and the trade deadline, because he is half of the reason why Draymond at the five might be the Warriors' best unit. But again, considering Draymond's age and how many minutes that he's compiled onto his body at this stage of his career, it's not something that the Warriors can play 30 minutes a game with, even though it is probably their best unit. And I said it when they first checked in the first half, when it was Curry, Schroeder, Wiggins, Kuminga, and Draymond. That's the team's best five. At least it should be, on a relatively consistent basis. Oddly enough, it wasn't in that second quarter when the Warriors moved to that group to early in the second quarter. Steph Curry committed three turnovers, like, almost immediately. The Warriors committed 12 turnovers in this basketball game. Seven of them came in the second quarter alone, and the majority of those seven came when that group of Curry, Schroeder, Wiggins, Kuminga, and Draymond were on the court. But they were much better to close this basketball game. The Warriors were down by 5, 100-95, with 5 minutes and 22 seconds left, and then they turned to the unit of Curry, Schroeder, Wiggins, Kuminga, and Draymond. And that unit, over the final 5 minutes and 22 seconds, outscored the Suns 14-5 to win the game 109-105. What stands out about that 14-5 run over 5:22? It isn't necessarily the 14 points. That's kind of like an average number of points. And a lot of it was Jonathan Kuminga at the free throw line. What stands out is what that unit did defensively. 5 points for the Phoenix Suns over the final 5:22, and they all came from the free throw line. I think except for one at the very tail end of the basketball game when the Suns were down three and they went for the quick two, although they might have missed that. Let me double check that for you. I'm not so sure. They just made a field goal over the final 5:22 of this basketball game. Let me confirm this for you, because if it was any field goals, it was only one, and that was it. 5:22, Stephen Curry checks in to give the Warriors the unit of Curry, Schroeder, Wiggins, Kuminga, and Draymond Green. The Suns had 100 points. The rest of the way, they made a free throw. They made two more free throws for 3 points. Durant made two more free throws for 5 points. They did not make a field goal over the final 5:22 with that group on the floor. And this is a group for Phoenix that features the best bucket getter the NBA has ever seen in Kevin Durant. What that group did defensively maybe is as encouraging as what we've seen from Kuminga offensively over the last couple of games. Because while the Warriors offense has taken a lot of the blame for what's gone wrong for the team lately, and specifically late game execution, it has also been that the Warriors defense hasn't been as good of late as they were to begin the year. I mean, they were, for the first month of the season, they were a top three defense in the NBA. They've kind of trickled out. They're still currently top 10. But over the last month or so, they haven't been a top 10 defense. The offense has been worse, but it's not as if the defense is playing up to an elite level lately either. They were elite down the stretch of this basketball game. And I think what's also interesting about Jonathan Kuminga's development, and when he gets in a groove like this, it also feeds into him on the defensive end. And he has all the tools to be an elite defender. And it was him matched up with Kevin Durant multiple times down the stretch, and he funneled him to help. He did a good job of staying in front of him. And he played a pretty good game defensively as well. There was one moment where it was in the first, I know, it was early in the third quarter, where he got a bucket on a drive. They attacked the mismatch, right? What I was talking about earlier. The Warriors see there's a Kuminga mismatch. Screw the motion offense. Screw the Steph Draymond pick and roll. Screw the split action. Just throw the ball into the post to Kuminga. He's got Tyus Jones on him. Back him down. Back him down, get the easy bucket, draw the foul, get to the line, what have you. The Warriors got a bucket that way with a Kuminga post up on a mismatch. Then Kuminga on the other end, locked in defensively, gets a deflection, creates a steal, runs the break, gets a pass from, I believe it was Lindy Waters, and finishes in transition with a dunk. Like, when you get Kuminga going offensively, and you do that by, if you're the Warriors, kind of force-feeding him the ball in those right moments when he has a positive matchup, you get more from him on the defensive side as well. And that was apparent in this basketball game tonight as well. 888-957-9570. Mark Ranney with you here on Warriors Wrap-Up. Live from KFICO Pizzeria at Thrive City on the east side of Chase Center, overlooking the bay on their outside open air, but it is covered, their outdoor bar area, and it's a beautiful sight here. They got plenty of good pizza, and they've got salads, and they've got some hors d'oeuvres as well. I'm trying tonight the chicken cutty. It's on a sesame roll, crispy chicken cutlet, provolone, marinated artichoke, pesto, pepperoncini, pickled red onion, and chili flakes. Delicious. A lot of good food here at KFICO Pizzeria, and appreciate them for hosting me tonight here on Warriors Wrap-Up. Again, KFICO Pizzeria. It's one of the newest spots here at Thrive City on the east side of Chase Center. You can walk along the outside of Chase. You'll eventually find it if you start in the main area where the big Christmas tree is, where you watch Bonte Hill and everybody on NBC Sports Bay Area do the pre- and post-game shows. Walk along the outside of Chase towards the bay, and you can't miss KFICO Pizzeria here at Thrive City. Again, appreciate everyone here at KFICO Pizzeria for hosting me on Warriors Wrap-Up tonight on 95.7 The Game. Okay, let's hear from Warriors head coach Steve Kerr, who addressed the media postgame after this Warriors win, 109-105, led by Jonathan Kuminga, who scored 34 points, tying a career high that he set last night, 68 points in his last two performances over the last two nights. How about that for Jonathan Kuminga? 34 points last night, 34 points again tonight. Did not look tired, and that's what happens when you're a 22-year-old playing pretty good basketball. You can survive back-to-backs, unlike some of the more veteran players on the Warriors. And I say that because both Stephen Curry and Draymond Green did not play last night. They're not on a back-to-back, and they looked pretty good in this one as well. Let's hear from Warriors head coach Steve Kerr, who addressed the media postgame after his team's 109-105 win over the Phoenix Suns. Here is the Warriors head coach Steve Kerr.
About getting Kuminga moving, getting him action that where he's going to get towards the rim. Was that what happened tonight? Is that what you saw from him tonight? Especially that on the last play, obviously he gets the pass from Draymond, he gets fouled. Just what was going on to get him free like that?
I just think he's turning a corner. I just think he's, he's seeing the pictures well. He made a play late in the game where he swung the ball to Draymond, immediately pinned in for Steph, and Steph got a three. He didn't make it, but that's the play where you have to recognize Steph's your teammate. You know, you see he's cutting through the lane, swing the ball, and go set a screen for him. And those are the type of plays that if he makes, you know, and he's doing what he's doing, getting downhill, getting fouled, getting to the rim. Now the mix, the blend of Steph, Draymond, JK, now it starts to really get powerful. And I'm so impressed with J.K. It just feels like he's turning a corner, and he played so hard last night and again tonight. The rebound at the end just before he got fouled, he came out of nowhere along the baseline to make that play. I think he had about 7 boards in the second half. He was fantastic, man. This is exactly what we're looking for, and it's fun to see him, deliver.
And how huge were those free throws that he made? I mean, were you thinking about how big they were for him?
Of course. I mean, down one, and the stretch we're in, like, we needed this game badly, and obviously he's struggled from the line this year, so I thought it showed a lot of guts for him to step up and knock them both down.
Feels like you've gotten him on, facing centers and kind of space the last two nights, Zubac and even Plumlee tonight. I mean, how much do you want to try to get him into those actions where he's going at bigs in space?
For sure, yeah, we're trying to do that. I think what I like is that he's not settling for, the 17-foot pull-up. He's trying to get to the rim, and then if it's not there, he's kicking it out. And then late clock, he's one of the few guys who can create a shot, or, that's where that mid-range shot comes into play. So I just think the process is better overall for him.
I do feel like there's been several points, through his 4 years that it has felt like maybe he is turning a corner.
Yeah.
Waxes and wanes. I mean, but you do sound maybe a little bit more confident this time.
This feels different to me. It really does. There's just a different force to his game. Last night you saw all the times he just ran the floor, ran through the catch and attacked the rim. The 9 rebounds tonight, the timely plays that he made, it just feels different. It feels like he's figuring out how to impact winning, which is obviously the main thing.
Steve, how much of that difference is having him back up back-to-back games the way he did last night and tonight?
That's a big deal, that's what great players do. They stack together, multiple games. And so we're, we're going to stay with this rotation, with him coming off the bench. It allows us to get our defense set with Draymond and Trace, and then he comes in and plays with both of those guys. That gives him the space he needs at the four. But we closed tonight with him at the three defensively with Trace and Draymond, that would be ideal if we can get to that point where we can play him, at the three and the four. But I like where he is, and I think our team has a chance now to rebuild our momentum. I think this was an important win.
All right, there's Steve Kerr postgame tonight after the Warriors 109-105 win. Interesting there at the very end from Steve Kerr. I'll get into that in just a second. Again, want to let you know, I'm live from KFico Pizzeria here at Thrive City on the east side of Chase Center, overlooking the Bay. A great, great performance for the Warriors tonight. And look who's in the building. It's Bonte Hill. Just got done with NBC Sports Bay Area. How's it going, B?
It's going well, Grandy.
There we go.
Gotta win.
Lead the losses for Loveman. That's exactly right. I know how to pick them, don't I, B? There's Bonte Hill. I'm not sure if you could hear him through my mic. He said, do not trade JK. That's how good he was tonight. 34 points for Jonathan Kuminga in this one. And 34 points last night as well. But what Steve Kerr said at the end there was, we closed with a group where Jonathan Kuminga was playing the three defensively. They brought in Trayce Jackson-Davis for Stephen Curry, offense, defense, down the stretch. The group that closed generally was Steph Curry, Dennis Schroeder, Andrew Wiggins, Jonathan Kuminga, and then Draymond Green. But then they would sub, usually it was Stephen Curry out, and they'd bring in Trayce Jackson-Davis for defense. Kuminga can play the three defensively. What hasn't worked is Kuminga playing the three offensively. And I'm still not entirely sure that even if you get this Kuminga on the offensive end, that a group of you know, Wiggins at the two, Kuminga at the three, Draymond at the four, and Trayce Jackson-Davis at the five. I'm not sure that works because even though Kuminga's scoring the ball better, there's still just not enough shooting in the modern NBA. Now, if you were to get a stretch five, say someone like Nikola Vucevic, that might be something that would allow the Warriors to venture out and play other groups down the stretch of basketball games. You could play Kuminga at the three, and it's much easier to see that working offensively if you have a floor spacer at the five. Because if you're trotting out Kuminga at the three, Draymond at the four, and Trayce Jackson-Davis or Looney at the five, those are essentially three non-spacers. Kuminga's hitting the three at a better rate, but he's being a little more perceptive and a little more picky on which threes he takes. He's taking the open corner three, right? He's taking the in-rhythm left wing or right wing three. He's not necessarily a guy that's going to open up lanes for others to drive in with his three-point shooting. But if you got a big that could shoot, that would keep Draymond at the four and could help you defensively protecting the rim and grabbing rebounds, that changes the whole geometry of the court for the Warriors offensively. But he said he would love to get to a point where the Warriors can play Kuminga at the three. The interesting thing is that it is an elite group defensively. Schroeder, Wiggins, Kuminga, Draymond, and Trayce Jackson-Davis, that is one hell of a five on the defensive end, and that group helped suffocate the Suns down the stretch. They did not make a field goal over the final 5.5 minutes of this basketball game, and a big part of it was because of that Warriors defensive group. Let's get more on the Warriors defense, because Eric in Millbrae is standing by, and I know he wants to talk about this Warriors defense. Eric, what's up? You're on Warriors Wrap Up. Mark Randy with you here live from KFico Pizzeria at Thrive City. Eric, how you doing?
What's up, man? Yeah, that was really impressive. As good of a defensive stretch as all season against, as you say, we know how special KD is, and he's one of the great all-time scorers and bucket getters, and to hold that team to basically scoreless down the last stretch of the game there, to really put it away, was really good, because it felt like every other Warrior loss where they were trying to control the game and they would hand it game at the end there. And for the defense to buckle down like they did like tonight was outstanding. This is what we need to see more out of. It's unfortunate we have it. And as far as Kuminga, man, the guy shows, that's the thing about him. They want to keep him, but the problem is you want to pay a good player max money, because if I'm paying some guy $40 to $45 million, I expect him to be elite. And they'll pay him 20 to 25 in the Wiggins range, but he's expecting to get that max money. And so far, he hasn't showed he can be that guy. He shows flashes. I love his game, but you want to be committed to him long-term at that type of money. And he's got a chance to show, like tonight, and we've seen flashes of it, but he hasn't done it consistently. If you're not a superstar, you're just a good player then if you can't do it as consistently as a Curry and the greats among the across the league have. So I'm hoping this guy really jumpstarts him and shows this stretch where they desperately need him instead of breaking out of being a middling 500 team. JK has got to be that guy, because outside of Curry, really, everybody relies on him to get their offense going. And Kuminga is showing that one guy he can play off of and get his own points. He's got to be that bucket getter they need, because I don't see a big trade happening in the future. I think the Jimmy Butler talk is nonsense. So Kuminga's got to be that guy and show that. And I'm hoping he really focuses in lockdown and shows I can be a 20-plus-10 rebound type of guy. And if he can do that, I think this Warriors team could be a run. But unfortunately, everybody else is playing up and down in Curry as well lately. So I'm hoping a win tonight against an equally desperate team like the Suns really gets this team going, because you got a hot Cleveland team, the best team in the East so far this year, on Monday. So these guys got to show right now, buckle down, and let's get rolling here, because you're a middling team right now, and you got to get it rolling, and you've really been a funk since that hot stretch they started off the season. So we're really hoping, JK, man. Dub Nation's really hoping he's that guy, and show the Warriors franchise you're a max money player, and they're willing to pay you, as Joe Lickett is showing. He's one of the best owners of sports. So thanks for the time, man.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Eric. I think you hit on a couple of interesting things. First of all, I mean, you could tell immediately how important this game was based on the way the Warriors played. There was a different intensity and a different feel to this game, especially early. really the whole game, but you noticed it right out of the gate. And there was a number of moments where Stephen Curry, either after a mistake, after a turnover, and you could kind of see his frustration, like, and he wasn't trying to hide it. There was a moment where there was, I think it was a Buddy Hield. I mean, he was 0-for-7, all from deep in this game, and there was a moment where Draymond Green was caught. And I'm going to find the exact quote here for you. Here it is. Draymond Green was asked about this postgame. Microphones caught Draymond Green lighting into Buddy Hield tonight. The quote was, "Wake the bleep up or go sit the bleep down." Draymond Green to Buddy Hield. And he talked about his leadership and what that moment meant. He said, "Mike's catch everything today. I don't care. I'll sing it right into the mic." The point is not to highlight Draymond Green calling out a teammate. That's not what this is. That's Draymond's leadership, and he's done that to a number of different players. This game elicited that emotion and that response and that comment from Draymond Green. That's how much this game meant. There was a stretch in the second quarter when the Warriors turned to the unit that closed the game, the Curry, Schroeder, Wiggins, Kuminga, Draymond group. Their first stretch of minutes together tonight, it was a disaster. The Warriors committed like 3 of their 12 turnovers, might have been closer to 5 of their 12 turnovers in this game, like over a 3-minute stretch while that group was on the floor. And it got so frustrating for Steve Kerr, he called a quick timeout, and during the entire commercial break, I swear to God, during the entire commercial break, he was on the sideline, surrounded by his assistant coaches, and was just screaming in frustration the entire time. Tonight's game elicited that kind of response from all of the Warriors players. There was a number of Stephen Curry moments where after a good play, after a big moment, after they made a 3, after Kuminga, you know, a dunk, after a Trayce Jackson-Davis and one finish on a putback, where you could feel and hear and see his celebration. This game meant a lot. And as far as late December basketball games go, again, this was one of the most important ones the Warriors have had in a long time. And our caller, Eric in Millbrae, makes a very good point. You've got the best team in the NBA, the Cleveland Cavaliers, in town on Monday, December 30th. You had to have this game. One, to avoid falling below 500, and two, because you got some really, really tough games on the horizon. And Phoenix is a quality basketball team. Their record isn't great, 15-16, but they got a ton of talent, even without Devin Booker tonight. You had to win this one. Absolutely, you had to win it, because you've got Cleveland, then you've got Philadelphia. Philly's record is ugly. They are playing better basketball of late, and if they have Embiid available on that night, they'll be tough to beat. Memphis is having a severely underrated season. We got to start talking about the Grizzlies as a legitimate team in the Western Conference. They've been awesome. Then you get a couple of softer spots after that against Sacramento and Miami. And by the way, these are all at home. Like, this 6-game homestand might tell the story for the Warriors season. If you have a bad homestand, it might spell a little bit of disaster. If you have a good homestand, you go 4-2, we're singing a different tune. So tonight was huge to kick off this homestand in a good way, to give yourself a little bit of room to maybe trip up against one or either or both of the Cleveland and Memphis teams. Maybe you take care of business against everybody else and you're looking at a 4-2 homestand. I think most Warrior fans would take that. But you had to have this one tonight to get it done. This was a big basketball game. I think the other thing that Eric mentioned that is worth continuing to add on to is saying Kuminga, has shown flashes throughout his career. And while that's accurate, I would say the last two nights, it's more than flashes, and really 3 of his last 4 games. And you can go back to the Houston game where Steph and Draymond did not play, and Kuminga scored 33 and helped the Warriors win that basketball game against a good Houston team without Steph and without Draymond. We are getting a larger sample that shows that Jonathan Kuminga, when entrusted with the appropriate amount of responsibility, can come through for you. And I can imagine this from Kuminga's perspective. When you are trying to find your way in this league and you're in your 4th year, your last year of your rookie deal, and you just had an offseason where you had a contract negotiation and it didn't go the way that you wanted, and you're now going into your final year of your rookie deal without a new deal in place, you want to get yours every single night. And when Steph and Draymond are in, you're asked to take a little bit of a back seat and maybe play a game that isn't quite your style, and then those two miss a game, and you're suddenly the number one, and you dominate, and then the next game you come back out, and you're asked to only put up like 7 shot attempts on a night. Like, that's kind of been the story of Kuminga's career, but specifically his season this year. Tonight, though, it changed. So I think up to this point, we've seen flashes, but the last two games, we have seen consistency, and it is only a 2-game sample, so I get Eric's point. But tonight was maybe the most encouraging sign for Jonathan Kuminga, and it's not just Kuminga, it's the Warriors' decision to utilize him in a way that maximizes his strengths when Stephen Curry and Draymond Green are on the floor. And the 415, adding on to this conversation on the Comcast Business text line, the 415 writes, JK is starting to be aggressive. If he stays aggressive, he'll be unstoppable. I wanna amend your text, 415, just a little bit. And thanks for joining the conversation. You can do so as well. 888-957-9570. That's the Comcast Business text line. Again, 888-957-9570. I don't think it's necessarily about convincing Jonathan Kuminga to just endlessly be aggressive. It's a little more nuanced than that. It is being aggressive in the right way for the Warriors. It isn't just get the ball and ruthlessly go to the rim every time you touch the ball. It's making the right decisions. And it's, all right, I caught the ball on the left wing. The defense is a little scattered. I'm going to make the pass, skip pass to the right wing for an open Buddy Hield for a three. And I know Buddy Hield hasn't been making his threes lately. 0 for 7 from the field. All of them were from downtown tonight. That's not really the point. The question for JK isn't necessarily about aggressiveness. It is about just making the right decisions when the ball is in your hands. Now, it's also out of his hands at times how often the Warriors go to him and how often they say, hey, JK, go get us a bucket. But when he's in those moments where he has the ball in his hands and he has a decision to make, is he making the right decision? And at times, he hadn't been. I mean, there was not the blow up, but all the drama around Steve Kerr's comments after the win against the Timberwolves in Minnesota, where Steve Kerr was essentially, I believe he was talking about Jonathan Kuminga and maybe to a lesser degree Brandon Pajemski, but I think it was specifically about Jonathan Kuminga when Steve Kerr said, we can't be taking mid-range jumpers when there's 15 seconds on the shot clock when you got Stephen Curry on the floor. Work to get a better shot before you settle for that. You could get that mid-range jumper at any point of the shot clock. Try to work for a better shot for Stephen Curry. And he's eliminated that mid-range jumper from his arsenal the last two games specifically. Like, it's not necessarily about aggressiveness. It's about when the ball is in his hands, is he making the right decisions? Sometimes those decisions will be, I don't have a good matchup here, right? I've got an elite defender on me. This isn't my opportunity to try to break him down and get to the basket and score. Hey, guess what? We got a mismatch. Plumlee is on Steph. I'm going to find Steph. I'm gonna pass him the ball, and he's probably going to make something happen. But when you've got Plumlee on you, when you've got Tyus Jones on you, ask for the ball, demand the ball, and hopefully the Warriors are aware enough to call for it themselves and say, hey, run a play for JK or get him a switch. Plumlee's on him. Get out of the way. He'll drive past Plumlee and get to the rim and score or get fouled. That's the adjustment that we've seen. One from Kuminga, he's making the right decision more often. And two from the Warriors, they've shown a little bit more of a willingness to say, you know what, let's screw our plan offensively. We've got an elite mismatch. Throw him the ball, get out of the way, and let him go to work. And I think we've seen an adjustment and a change both from the Warriors schematically offensively and then also from Jonathan Kuminga himself. And that is really good news for the Warriors as they try to continue to navigate their way through this up and down season. 12-3 to begin the year. Entering tonight, 3-12 in their last 15. 500 at 15-15 entering tonight after starting 12-3. That is crazy. 12-3 through 15, and at game 30, they're 500 again. Now they're back above 500 at 16-15. And Jonathan Kuminga is a big reason for it. Even though they lost last night, he was awesome. He was the main reason why the Warriors nearly erased a 21-point deficit in the second half. nearly came back and won that game, and he's reason number one why the Warriors won this basketball game tonight. He was awesome in this one. 13 points in the fourth quarter. And sometimes what I think gets lost in what Kuminga brings to the Warriors, part of it has been because of his struggles at the free throw line. What has hurt the Warriors in this season so often, it is losing clutch games. And they played another clutch game tonight. Let me bring up the numbers for you. I have them here in just a second. The Warriors have played the most clutch games in the NBA so far this year. Now 21 clutch games. With tonight's win, they're 9-12. But if you just turn a couple of those clutch game losses into clutch game wins, now you're looking at, say, an 18-13 record, a 19-12 record instead of 16-15. And what has hurt the Warriors down the stretch in those clutch games? It's been they just can't buy themselves a bucket. And when defenses are really locking you down, specifically they're locking Steph down on the perimeter, and they're double-teaming him, and Heald shots aren't falling, and Wiggins' shots aren't falling, and Schroeder is really struggling from the field so far as a Golden State Warrior. How do you score when all of that is not working your way? Get to the free throw line. And obviously, Steph is one of the best free throw shooters percentage-wise the league has ever seen. He doesn't get there a ton. The Warriors have one player on their roster that can get to the free throw line often, and it's Jonathan Kuminga. And if he, one, is trusted to do that in clutch time, as he was tonight, and then, two, makes more of his free throws as he did tonight, the Warriors can solve a lot of their end-of-game issues just by virtue of Jonathan Kuminga at the free throw line. He scored 13 points tonight, despite only, 13 points in the fourth quarter tonight, despite only putting four shots up. 13 points in the fourth quarter, four field goal attempts. That is incredible efficiency, and it's because he got to the free throw line 10 times. He made seven of them. I think he'll take 70% from the line for JK. You love 8 for 10, but 7 for 10 from the free throw line in a single quarter, that is special, and that's why the Warriors won this basketball game. It was not a high-scoring fourth quarter. The game was 109-105. The fourth quarter was 27-18. Seven of the Warriors' 27 came Jonathan Kuminga from the free throw line. That's what he can bring to this team that nobody else can, and that's a big reason why the Warriors won this basketball game tonight. Warriors win over the Suns 109-105 is the final score, a hugely important win. The Warriors now 16-15. The Suns fall to 15-16. How about this? This is the Warriors' first win in the division so far this year, and it's a big one because now they leapfrog the Suns in the Western Conference standings. It was a little bit ugly for the Warriors entering this game tonight. They were out of the postseason picture entirely, not just not a top six seed to be in a postseason series. They weren't even in the play-in tournament. They were the 11th seed in the Western Conference entering tonight. They got the win. They leapfrogged the Suns. They're now the 10th seed, and I know nobody here in Dub Nation is celebrating a 10th seed, but a big win because you leapfrog the Phoenix Suns. You get a win. You also even up the season series against them, 1-1. They beat you in Phoenix earlier this year, and you beat them here at Chase Center tonight. All right, final couple of moments here on Warriors wrap-up on 95.7 The Game. And again, a big thanks to KFICO Pizzeria for hosting me. KFICO Pizzeria and Thrive City here just outside of Chase Center on the east side of Thrive City overlooking the bay. It's a beautiful night here in late December and great bay views at KFICO Pizzeria. Again, I tried the chicken cutty sandwich tonight. One of their sandwiches on the menu. They've also got pizza. They got plenty of hors d'oeuvres. They've got salads and plenty to drink as well here at KFICO Pizzeria. So appreciate them for hosting me here on Warriors Wrap-Up. But let's get to Crashing the Boards, as we always do on Warriors Wrap-Up. And Crashing the Boards is brought to you by Chilton Auto Body, the Bay Area leader in collision repair. A terrible rebounding day for the Warriors. We got to give this one. I want to give it to Kuminga. The show has been mostly about Kuminga. He had 9 boards tonight. But how about Trayce Jackson-Davis, who grabbed one more board than Kuminga did and did it in 11 fewer minutes? Trayce Jackson-Davis, 10 rebounds tonight to go with 16 points. I mean, he not very quiet. I haven't really mentioned it tonight because Kuminga has stolen the show. Trayce Jackson-Davis, I think, is playing the best basketball of his career the last week plus. He has been really, really good of late, and that continued tonight. 16 points, 10 rebounds. He was 6 of 11 from the field. He was effective, also 4 block shots. Did not turn the ball over. Had himself a steal as well. Better around the rim of late as well. But he gets 10 boards, a double-double. He gets our Crashing the Boards honor, which, again, is brought to you by Chilton Auto Body, the Bay Area leader in collision repair. All right, that'll do it for us here on Warriors Wrap-Up. Again, live from KFico Pizzeria in Thrive City. The Dubs knock off the Suns 109-105 is the final score. Up next for the Warriors, a Monday date with the best team in the NBA, the Cleveland Cavaliers. They're in town Monday. Coverage is at tip is at 7, which means coverage begins at 6 here on 95.7 The Game. Then the Warriors at home again against the 76ers on Thursday. So after they play on Monday, they got Tuesday and Wednesday off. Philly at home Thursday. Memphis on Saturday a week from tonight. Sacramento the following day on Sunday. And then they close out this 6-game homestand with the Miami Heat on Tuesday, January 7th. But Monday is the next Warrior game. 6 o'clock coverage begins. 7 o'clock tip here on 95.7 The Game. Okay, for my man Cam Williams back behind the glass, my name is Mark Randy signing off. Thanks so much for tuning in, and thanks as always to KFico Pizzeria for hosting me here on Warriors Wrap-Up this Saturday evening on 95.7 The Game. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'll talk to you next time. The Dubs win 109-105. This is Mark Randy signing off. Have a good night. We'll talk to you later.